Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. What a wonderful, glorious day. Amen. As I said in the first service, as a legal alien, I'm always blessed for occasions like this. I'm a people watcher, and I love being in the airport or at the mall and watching people. And what amazes me about the society that I find myself in Texas, it's embodied by the story that I tell, that I was waiting at the airport in a queue to get on the plane. And I'm in the line, and in front of me is a father and a son. And this boy was about, I don't know, maybe 13 or 14 years old. And as we're waiting, they announce people are boarding, and then they call, which is a wonderful thing, and rightly so, they call for people, for servicemen and women, to go onto the plane first. So they came to the front of the queue, and there were about four or five of these people in uniform. And the one guy, he stood just in front of this young boy. And I remember being so moved to see this young boy step forward and put out his hand and to thank this man. And he said, "Thank you, sir, for your service." It moved me so much, and I wanted to actually go and shake the hand of the father of that boy. And I regret not doing it, because to me it's a wonderful thing to watch a man raise his son to be grateful for things that he may not even understand at 13 or 14 years old. Amen? And you can be proud of your nation because of the way they honor the fallen. And they honor veterans, and they honor servicemen. My father was a veteran of the Second World War. And watching that DVD, that clip, it's very hard to preach after a clip like that. But I remember in England growing up, nobody, and I'm ashamed when I think about it, watching that, because I never thanked my father for his service. Never did. I don't remember one person ever thanking my father for his service. It's just something they don't do in England. They don't do it. Or in South Africa. They don't do it. And it's tragic. And Ronald Reagan there, he said something that was so powerful when he spoke about the young men. He said that they gave up two lives. The life that they had lived, and then the life that they would have lived. And it's amazing, because as I stand here, my father was blessed because he survived. He was in the army before the war started, so 6-7 years, that Second World War, and he was all over Europe and Southern Africa, Egypt, in the war. But he survived. He came home. And as I watch things like that, I think to myself, you know, if he hadn't have come home, I wouldn't be standing here. My children wouldn't have been born. My grandchildren wouldn't have been born. And if you're here today, and you are a family member, and somebody in your family made the ultimate sacrifice, thank you. Bless you. But also, if you're the child of a veteran, then you need to give thanks to God today that your father or mother or what survived. Because if they hadn't have done, you wouldn't be here. Your children wouldn't be around you laughing and playing and growing and blossoming. You know, that statement, lest we forget, is so important. Amen? And today we're gonna talk about service. In my message, it interweaves, but it's not just, you know, the service, these we honor that, but everything we do for God, you know, is remembered forever. Amen. And the title of my, in fact, let's pray and then I'll get into my message. Father, we just thank you for bringing us together on this glorious day. It is a privilege for us to be standing, to be free to worship you, to honor you, to glorify your name publicly and out loud. We say you are God, that San Antonio belongs to Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, that you sent into our lives to lead us, teach us, and guide us into all truth. And I make it known today, Spirit of the living God, that I do not trust in my own human ability, but I trust in you to rise big within me, to think through my mind and to speak through my lips. And we're honored for you, Lord, that you are here today in our midst. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you anoint these words that I say. You carry them, sowing them deep within the heart of every person here today, causing faith to rise, dispelling fear and doubt. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about discovering ourselves. That's the title of my message, Discover Yourself. And I grew up in a part of England and in the 60s, and it was amazing. In them days, everybody used to have this saying, you know, they'd say, hey man, I'm just trying to find myself. Trying to find myself. And the world has an amazing way of people trying to find themselves. You know, Hollywood and movies. You try to find yourself in Hollywood, you get messed up real quick. Because if you want to, you know, to be right there, you've got to be this size, that, you know, this weight, hair's this color, zip codes, education. God has a different way. God's way of us discovering ourselves is found in the book of Acts when Jesus said to his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until the Lord sends you power from on high. How many of you here today are grateful for the Holy Spirit? Amen. Now, God sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. And to the Holy Spirit's addition in our lives brings a lot of different things. Amen. We know that we're empowered to be witnesses. Do you know God gave you power that you would be a soul winner? Me? Yeah. Amen. He also gave us power to reveal the future. In John 16, verse 15, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he also wants to lead us, teach us, guide us into all truth. He also wants to tell us about our future. God wants you to know about your future. As you sit here today, you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. God's already there. Amen. He wants to tell you about your future. He wants you to reveal to you your part, or the part you will play. Now, I know you see my background up there. You know what that is? It's a puzzle, right? Have you ever done a puzzle? You get a big one. Now, this one would be very difficult because it's all one color. But, you know, have you ever tried to do a puzzle and one piece is missing? Ay-yay-yay-yay-yay, it burns my biscuit, man. I tell you, I'll turn that lounge upside down. Because it doesn't look finished. It doesn't matter that shape might look ugly, might have a few kinks in it. But guess what? We're all pieces in a puzzle. And sometimes you wake up on a Sunday morning and you think, oh, I'm a bit tired today. You know, especially in winter, you know, when you're having fellowship with Mrs. Pillow and Mr. Duvet. Oh, They won't miss me if I don't go to church. Well, guess what? We do miss you. Because the puzzle doesn't look right. And it doesn't matter. You could be ugly. You're not. You're beautiful. I know you're beautiful. You see, you're fearful. The Bible tells me you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It says you're God's masterpiece. So you should never feel like nobody will miss me. No, we will miss you. You and your little kinks and bends and bows. Amen? We love you. What's the song? All your perfect imperfections. Hey? Amen? As you sit here today, you're important to God. You have a part to play in this family. We all seem to quote, you know, in this charismatic world we live in, or charismaniacs, you know, we all quote this, the Bible, God has a plan. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's amazing to me how many Christians will quote that scripture, but you ask them, well, what's God's plan for you? Because they don't know yet. It's so important for you to know what God's plan is for your life. You know, one of the things I love about this church is growth track. It takes you to places that you didn't even believe existed. Amen? And you sometimes, you know, we hear God has a plan for our lives, but how much time do we actually wait on God to find out what that plan is? Quiet time. Anybody here have a quiet time? How many of you won't put your hands up no matter what I say? But you see, one of the reasons it makes me laugh is it's a quiet time. But I've seen some Christians, boy, they burst into their prayer room and they don't shut up, man. You know, they just, okay, God, I want this, 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 and this, and oh, by the way, I'm in a bit of a hurry, catch you later. No, a quiet time is because you're supposed to listen, be directed of God. God has a plan for you. He wants to order your steps. You know? You'll hear that term a lot in this church. What's your next step? Do you know why? I once heard a great man of God, and he said this. He said, you know what's the most important thing for you? Is what's next. Some people are so consumed about next year, whatever. No, what am I going to do next? What's tomorrow? What's my next step? Amen? And we need to realize that God has a plan for us. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, in the New Living Translation, it says the following. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? And all the women said amen. Did I say that? I was thinking it. Now, Cole, it's okay, ladies. We love you. You know, scientists tell us that women must speak 30,000 words a day. It's a fact. But I'll tell you something, on a good day, my wife can do that before breakfast. I love you, Pastor Anel. Do you have the gift of helping others? Hang on a second, I've got to stop. Helping? Helping? Is that a gift? That's what the Bible says. How many of you have ever been helped in your life? You appreciate it when somebody helps you, eh? Well, do you know that when you are helped, or when somebody is helping you, that is a demonstration of a gift from heaven? Amen. That's what the Bible says. And it goes on to say this. It says, if you have the gift of helping others, do it with all the strength and energy that you have. No, it doesn't say that. It says all the strength and energy that God supplies. You know, we serve such a cool God. I love my God, you know, because my God, he tells me what to do. If I'm listening, he tells me what to do. He gives me the power to do it. And then when I've done it, he rewards me for it. How cool is that? Amen. God gives us the energy. And then it says, watch this. It says, then everything you do will bring glory to God. Do you know when you use your gift to help others, it brings glory to God? So just by helping somebody, you are bringing glory to God. Amen? I'm preaching better than your amen, and I just want you to know that. It goes on to say in Romans 12, verse 6, you know I'm kidding with you, don't you? I feel at home here, so I'm just naughty. Naughty pastor, naughty pastor. Romans 12, verse 6. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. One translation put it this way. It says, God has given you the ability to do certain things well. I don't know about you, but that's such a wonderful, wonderful statement. Because, you know, it relieves me of such great responsibility. Because I can't be like other people. But, you know, I don't have to be like other people. I just need to be the best I can be. You know, I know the Bible says that we're in a race. But, you know, the difference with this race? I'm not in a race against you. I'm in a race against me. And the race is that I need to be the best Peter Cox that I can be. Amen? And you need to be the best you can be. Praise the Lord. So God has given us these gifts to do certain things well. And it says, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Now, would you agree with me that prophesying is a spiritual gift? All right, I'm happy. We're all on the same page. But now look at this. It says number 7, verse 7. If your gift is serving others, I've got to stop there. Serving? Serving is a gift? Amen. Now, as I said earlier, I'm telling you now, this may not be the deepest message you're going to get this year. It may not be profound, but I'm telling you, we need to understand that serving is a gift. I believe with all of my heart that each and every one of us here today, we were saved to serve. And if we remember what we just saw in Peter, when I serve, I bring glory to God. Isn't that amazing? I not only bring it, if I'm serving you, not only do I bring a smile to your face, I bring a smile to God's face. I make God happy when I serve. Isn't that amazing? It goes on to say, it says, if you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, ay, 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 stop it. Encouragement? Is that a gift, encouragement? Anybody ever needed encouragement? I tell you something, when you need encouragement and somebody comes alongside of you, encourages you, you thank God for that. It's a gift. Carries on. It says, if you have the gift of leadership ability, or if God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. Now, if you go, I'm practicing my Texan here. If you go out to the parking lot, I call that a car park, but you call it a parking lot, right? Practicing my Texan. If you go out there, you'll see a lot of nice vehicles, a lot of money, a vehicle. You'll see a lot of money out there. It's obvious to me when I see that God has blessed those people, you, many times with a gift of leadership, and you translate that into a good job, into a business, make a lot of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but don't forget that the gift you were given was a given you so that you could serve people with it. And it is amazing. That's why even 2,000 years ago, Paul had the same problem, Pastor, trying to get people involved in leadership. That's why he said, listen, take it seriously. It's not something we just should take lightly. It's a gift to be given by God for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. You're not here by mistake. Amen? And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, here we go again. Kindness. Kindness, a gift? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think these words have fallen off our modern vocabulary. Kindness. Serving. Encouraging. Amen? These are gifts given by God that when the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle bring themselves to the party, all the gifts are here. You see, it's a really, really dull party if only the teachers show up. Do you know it's a dull party if all the... I bet I didn't say that. I could get in trouble here. We need everybody. Amen. Hey, we need everybody to come together. You can see I brought my cheerleaders with me today, huh? Pastor Rebecca, Deborah, you're doing a good job there, man. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I love this next one. Verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. I always say this, you know what I love about children? They can smell a phony a mile away. Hey, you can't trick a little one. You know, I don't care when you come to church, you can have a Bible big enough to choke a donkey. That doesn't impress me. You know?
Praise God. Pray.
The deeper you speak, the more spiritual you are. No! You want to show me your spirituality? Serve. You want to show me your maturity? Serve. Amen? It is amazing to me that people miss this. Some people think maturity is about how many scriptures you can remember. No. We need to realize that we've all got a job to do. We've all got a piece to fulfill. You know, I can't say this enough about when every time I come to New Life, especially if I preach. I was here early this morning. You know, your pastor runs a tight ship. Preach here, you got to be at 8:20. 8:20, Pastor Peter, 8:20. 8:22 this morning, sent him a message. I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm on my way. I promise you, I'm on my way. But you know what amazes me? Why all you guys were still in La La Land, you know, before I even got here, there's a dude out there in the car park putting out the cones. And just like we honor our servicemen, we should honor our servicemen and women. Do you know this place, without volunteers, this wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. And again, what I love about this church is this church goes through a lot, it jumps through a lot of hoops to make available to you the growth track. How many of you put your hands? I know you don't like putting your hands up. But it's all right, man. It's all right. Yeah, I put deodorant on. We're okay. How many of you have gone through growth track? Can I see your hands if you've been through growth track? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, if you couldn't put your hands up, I encourage you with every fiber of my being, I encourage you. You see, these gifts that we're talking about, some people say, really? Yeah. We all have a gift. And you know, it's like gold. How many of you acknowledge gold's valuable, right? But you know where it came from? When it's in the ground, gold's worth nothing. Until it's mined, it's dug out of the ground, then it's refined, then it's got some value. Well, the gifts that you have inside of you are not, there's no value in that until it comes to the surface. The surface. And then the service. You bring your gift and you use it to serve others. And guess what? You bring glory to God. And then just like you do what he tells you to do with the power that he tells you to do it, and guess what? There is a reward. Amen. There's a reward in service. One Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Help each other. The gifts God gave you is not just for yourself. It's for others. The fruit that is in your life. Do you know, my brother, my sister, the fruit you produce is not for your benefit. It's for my benefit. The fruit that I produce is for your benefit. Amen? So we need to see. We need to see this, and we need to understand that a spiritual gift has been given to me as a means of helping the entire church. Now we all have a, you know, we all want to hear that word, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that true? You want to hear that at the end of your life. You want to stand before God and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, do you think there could be any link to your ability to carry out the above, to hear that word, well done, good and faithful servant, do you think there could be any link to that and the gift that God has given you? You see, just like gold is buried deep in the ground, Bible tells me that when you were formed in your mother's womb, in the utter seclusion of your mother's womb, God says he formed you knowing all the days of your life. So in your mother's womb, he imparted into you the gifts that he knew you would need in 2019 to be able to release in your life in service to others. And God knew the part he wanted you to play. He knew your shape right then, before the foundation of the earth. He knew you. And then when he put you together in your mother's womb, he saw into the future the part that he would want you to play, and he put into your DNA the gifts that you would need to be able to do what he wanted you to do successfully. And not only to do what he wanted you to do successfully, but to make sure that when you did it, you'd feel fulfilled. Teacher. And you would feel happy about it. You would enjoy it. Amen? Because if you don't know this yet, I feel desperately sorry for you, because I promise you with all of my heart, when you do what God has called you to do, you feel good. You feel good about yourself. I don't say this boastfully or proudly, but I'm living my dream. I thank God every day of my life for the privilege he's given me of doing what I do in the body of Christ. Amen. In Matthew 6, we see there it says, seek ye first the kingdom. Don't get nervous, I'm not going to receive an offering. Because we use that scripture a lot, amen? Seek ye first the kingdom. But it's more than just money. You know, you realize when you serve, you're seeking God's kingdom. You're serving his kingdom. By being kind. By encouraging somebody. By being kind to somebody, encouraging them, serving them. Amen? And it pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. Not only pleases him, it brings him glory. That's profound to me. And like I said, in this growth track, what's amazing to me, they'll always say, what is your next step? What is your next step? Discover yourself. Find out what you were created for. Find out what those gifts are. Help you unravel them. Help you. Then what they go on, and they give you an opportunity to use those gifts. They ask you to get involved in groups where you can flourish. And I know sometimes there'll be people and they'll say, but Pastor, there's not a group where my passion can be worked out. Glad you asked. If we don't have a group, I'm speaking on behalf of Pastor Dwayne right now. If we don't have a group, guess what? You can start one. We'll help you start it. Amen. Your next step, for some of you, I'll remember in this service, forgotten the first one. For some of you, your next step is to go to Bible school. And all our students said? Now on Thursday, August the 8th, we will be launching our fall intake. So what happens then? Well, that means if you've never been involved in Bible school and you want to get involved in Bible school, you can start first year in August. We'll be right here, me and my team right here, Pastor Anel, to answer any questions after the service you've got to ask. Maybe if you did first year and you took a breather, then you can come back. I'm looking. Amen? But then I have some questions for you today. I want to challenge you today. What is your gift? Number two, what is it that God has given you the ability to do well? Have you identified your passion, your heart's desire? Have you identified where you can do this, use this to help the kingdom of God? Will you make a decision today to be involved in New Life Fellowship? That's a question I'm asking you today. I'm challenging you today. Will you come to the place in your life where you say, it's time for me to get onto the plate? You've been sitting in that little dugout for a while. Here's a bat. Get up there. It's your turn. Amen? And you stand and say, okay, devil, give me your best fastball. I can take this. Curveball, whatever, man. I'm going to knock you out the park. Amen? I'm going to close with this story. In Acts chapter 9, I feel like I know this lady. I feel like if when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to take her for lunch. Pastor Anel and I are going to have to take her for lunch and thank her because we've used her so often. Her name was Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. It says, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And they had washed her. They washed her body. They laid her in an upper room. They prepared her for funeral, for burial. And they were near Joppa. And the disciples had heard that Peter was there. So they sent two men for him, imploring him not to delay, but to come. Peter arose and he came. When he got there, he went to the upper room And notice what it says. It says, all the widows stood by him weeping, showing him the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So use your imagination here. Here's an upper room. There's Dorcas laid out, washed and prepared for funeral. Peter comes up the stairs. It says there's widows lining up and they're standing there with garments that Dorcas had made for them. Peter prayed for her and she rose from the dead. I want to ask you today, every time I see that, I'm challenged by that scripture. And I want to ask you today, I want to challenge you today. Do you think Dorcas's gift glorified God? You better believe it did. She was a seamstress. Now, you may sit here today and say, look, I can't preach, or I can't sing like these wonderful people. Can you make clothes? Can you bake a cake? Can you put cones out in the car park? Can you be kind to people? Can you be a greeter? You know what I love? I said in the first service, I said, it's so good. I think I'm going to steal the name, but Pastor gave it to me. I love what you call yourselves. You call them life changers. Do you know, I say to Pastor Annelle all the time, I'm so glad when God sent her into my life, she changed my life. But you know, every day, every Sunday, we have the opportunity to change somebody's life. You can change somebody's life with a simple handshake, a smile, a hug. God bless you. And I want to challenge you today, right with Dorcas, do you use your gift? Do I use my gift? So that if anything was to happen to me, that my students would cry out to God. Because they cried out for Dorcas. The recipients, those widows, the recipients of Dorcas's gift cried out so loud to heaven. God heard their cries and saw their tears. And you know what? He was so moved that he sent Peter to raise her from the dead. Do the people that receive your gift, that are recipients from your gift, if anything was to happen to you, would they raise such a cry that God would get Pastor Dwayne up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go down the morgue and raise you from the dead? Think about it. Dorcas made clothes. It's not about how important you think the gift is. Pastor Dwayne prayed for the graduates. And you know, I actually feel a little bit sorry for them. Because they might think, this is it, I've arrived. No, you just started. Your life just started. Now it starts. Growth track. We want to equip you. What's your next step? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as I close? I just want to pray. I want to pray a prayer for you.